everybody, and welcome to a gossipy wild ride with Steve-O. The boys and I weigh in on all the juiciest scandals going on, and man, is it just a lot of fun. I don't even feel bad about it, but maybe I should. And we're here in London, England, where maybe you saw me jump off the Tower of London Bridge because, woof, did that get some coverage. And I got the whole crew out here, extended family. I mean, it's a big deal going on. And we just finished recording this episode. So, man, enjoy it and wish me luck. Yeah, dude, let's get to it. Ladies and gentlemen, me and the boys, the gorgeous Paul Brisky, Scott Randolph, and the prison pocket expert, Skinny Vinny.
Cheers.
All right. We are in London, England. Just a few days removed from getting a whole lot of press for jumping off the Tower of London Bridge.
Man, what a day that was.
It was an epic day. Technically, it's not called the Tower of London Bridge. It's called Tower Bridge.
So the London Bridge is something completely different.
Yeah, what's the, like, London Bridge is falling down? Like, I thought that's what you jumped off of.
I don't know.
It's probably when not they made still the there. Song, it was called that in like the 1800s.
Or maybe the one they're talking about fell.
London Bridge.
It's like, yeah, it's no longer standing.
And this is exciting because it's the first time we have had, like Joe Rogan, a internet component where we can actually dig up stuff. And this podcast will be released roughly 24 hours after it was recorded. So let's talk current events. Fuck, I want to say that Jonah Hill didn't do shit wrong.
I have not even seen the text.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the consensus is that, like, what did he do wrong?
I read his texts. They weren't bad. He was like, look, he said, if you want to, hang out with dudes or put, like, post pictures in your bikini or, like, have, like, relationships with unhealthy chicks, like, then I'm not the partner for you. Easy.
Yeah, but then what's up with the whole, you can't post pictures in your bikini thong?
No, I think she can post pictures in her bikini, but, like, not straight up, like, thong shots. Or if, like, her on the beach in a thong, but if she's, like, surfing and that's what she does for work, I think that was the idea.
I mean, it sounds like Jonah Hill is insecure. I think it's weird to say, like, you can't hang out with dudes or, like, don't post that on your Instagram.
That's pretty normal.
I always thought that was weird. I still think it's weird. But it doesn't make him, like, a piece of shit who should, like, not...
normal for a chick in a relationship to go hang out with dudes?
No, it sounds like it's normal for guys to say don't hang out with dudes. I've always found that really weird, and I don't get that. Yeah, but
it's more normal for chicks to tell their dudes not to hang out with chicks. And I'm very sensitive to that because with my checkered past and sexual addiction, like, I don't need to be.
You don't even put yourself in any situation where that might happen.
Yeah, if I'm ever going to be alone with a girl, I let Lux know, like, hey, I'm going to be alone with a girl.
Yeah, but I've noticed when that, like, you'll FaceTime Lux while you're in the room. I think that's appropriate.
Yeah, you see, Paul isn't like that. Paul doesn't have a
checker. But Paul's a hippie.
Paul's had sex with, like, three people in his life. Really?
Would you be upset if your chick had, she's like, oh, I'm just going to grab lunch with my friend John?
I mean, it all depends the kind of, like, their history.
If John's a hot dude.
He's a hot, like, straight dude.
Yeah.
I would feel a little uncomfortable. Okay, but that just has to do with, like, my insecurities.
But is that because you think she'll fuck him?
No, I don't think that.
Vinny, how about when you know she's going to fuck him and on camera? And the millions of people are going to watch it on Brazzers.
That, for the record, I wouldn't feel that comfortable with.
I've gone through this in my head over and over and over again.
I mean, you've gone through it in real life.
Are we talking about Adam 22 or Vinny?
Vinny 22.
Okay. Dude, I just threw you on the bus.
It's great. And it's not like an Adam 22 situation because this happened before we even knew each other.
Right. Let's catch people. What exactly are we talking about?
Talking about your girlfriend.
My girl, Otto.
You're talking about this?
Did a scene.
She did a scene with Brazzers.
Yeah. And it started out with OnlyFans. Your girl was on OnlyFans?
No, it started with Brazzers.
Wow.
Out the gate? Like, how did that even happen? You just hit up Brazzers?
From what I've been heard, like...
And it's come out.
No, it hasn't come out. It hasn't come out.
And is her banging Adam 22?
No. She did a scene with Kieran Lee, a very popular male porn star. And this was, like, late last year before we've known each other.
Yeah,
pull him up.
Yeah, that's him.
He's got a wife, a couple kids, and I didn't know this about her. And when we were in Australia, when we were like seriously talking for a while, she's like, "Okay, I have to tell you something. It's like really eating me. I didn't think I was gonna like you this much, and I just want you to. I want to be the one to tell you before you find out." And she told me, and at first I was very shocked, and I think I talked to you about it. I talked to Isaac about it.
Well, he walked into the bus pale white.
Yeah.
You good, dude?
Yeah. And since then, I've come to terms with it, and I'm totally okay with it.
Has she expressed any desire to do more porn?
Mainstream stuff, no.
Mainstream stuff, like, no. What's mainstream stuff?
Like Brazzers.
Oh, that's mainstream?
For sure.
No. It's not going to be on like NBC or something. Yeah.
So she is interested in doing really seedy underground stuff?
I wouldn't call it seedy. Right. But I mean, underground stuff.
Like with you or with other
with
people too?
Yeah, with me. And only with me.
Only with you.
Yeah. I've asked her if like, do you ever think you're going to go and do another scene? Cause she made a lot of money doing it. And, she's like, no, I don't want to. I promise. Like I would tell you, I would totally be honest. And so I believe her.
Would you be upset if she wanted to bring another girl into the mix?
I don't know, dude. I've never really had that situation happen before. I don't know how I'd feel.
I can say that I don't think there's any such thing as a healthy relationship where you're doing threesomes.
I agree with you. Yeah, and I don't know. And I think I just have a lot of insecurities, and I'm a jealous person in general.
Somebody else. So
jealous of the other girl?
I think I would be. Huh. Yeah. I don't know. It's never happened before.
I'm sure some people are doing it and being okay with it, but yeah, it's like so risky. It's not worth it. Like if you're in a healthy relationship,
would you have a threesome with your fiance?
I'd be so scared. Like I would very heavily lean towards no. Just because, like, it's bound to cause an issue.
Somebody always gets the short end of the stick. It's impossible for that not to be the case. And so even if the couple is, gets away with it, you're still doing harm to somebody.
They'll get the short end of your stick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's not good. So let's talk about Adam 22. He's all in the news with the, do you think that was a net L for Adam 22, or do you buy what he says that it was great for his wife's career as well as his career? I mean, certainly got a lot of,
I believe it's definitely great for their careers. I mean, to each their own, you know, if he's cool with it.
By is there means, a such thing as bad press?
Yes.
Is that bad press?
It's not a cancelable offense.
No.
But even if it's negative towards Adam or whatever, letting Lena fuck another dude, is it bad for business or is it good for business?
No, it's definitely good for business because I guarantee their Plug Talk podcast is just, and once she releases that video, if she hasn't already, it's going to blow the fuck up.
Yeah, him explaining to Crib Mac what he did was hilarious.
Yeah.
You guys keep bringing up Crib Mac. Who's that?
55. Oh, dude. Crib Mac is a guy who's on. He's like a no jumper kind of like side character.
Yeah.
And he's this dude. And he just like, he hosts a show. He's like a legitimate Crip, right?
Okay.
And he's just really funny. He's just really a character, which is kind of what
him on a roller coaster was the best thing I've ever seen.
He's just super funny. Like
now I've heard that the no jumper like kind of people have been defecting and leaving No Jumper and doing their own thing, and that it bodes poorly for the No Jumper brand. I like Adam 22.
Yeah, what was the vibe when you did the No Jumper podcast?
Great.
Yeah,
it was great. We did a double upload.
Yep.
It was really interesting too because I was like, yeah, you know, you got your YouTube creator studio. Creator Studio app dashboard, mm-hmm. and it's just like shows you all of your numbers, your last 10 videos, mm-hmm. how they rank. And I just screenshot it, like, screw it, what do I care? You know, I'll let him see all of our analytics. And right away, he sent me his. You can learn a lot from your analytics. And I'll tell you, if they look good, why aren't you making money off of it? That's what ShipStation's for, baby. Now, let me tell you that my Steve-O's hot sauce for your butthole, thanks to ShipStation, has done so spectacularly well that my notoriously successful CEO father is coming out of retirement to try to sell the brand. He thinks that we could pull a Rob Dyrdek move because we've been killing it with ShipStation. And if you can build an audience online, then it is time to monetize that, baby. And ShipStation is the way to do it. It's an easy-to-use interface that brings together all your different methods of selling, Etsy, eBay, Amazon, your own website, doesn't even matter. And it also brings into the interface all of the different ways of shipping, FedEx, UPS, United States Postal Service, and it gives you the best rates that are available, rates that are normally reserved for Fortune 500 companies. You can get that when you're shipping with ShipStation. And when you're using it, man, you get an order, the label prints out, you slap it on the box, stick the hot sauce in there, and off it goes. And you can get a 2-month, 60-day free trial with ShipStation if you go to ShipStation.com and use the promo code Stevo. One more time, it's ShipStation.com. Use the promo code Stevo for your risk-free 60-day free trial. It is time to make ship happen. Now, let's get back to it. And at the time, our podcasts were really pretty on par with each other.
Wow.
I think that like the low end and the high end of typical views for one of us started lower and went higher, but it was the range was very similar. And I thought, man, how cool, you know?
Yeah.
It also helped us, I think, to... you know, I think double uploads just generally help. If you've got like super fans, they want to hear both, and you drive traffic to each other. Mm-hmm. I had a great experience with them.
Nice, but yeah, with him and his chick doing porn now with other, because they've done porn for a long time. Just the two of them,
no,
or like other chicks would come in.
The Plug Talk podcast is a podcast where they would talk for 45 minutes with another chick,
star, yeah, with another chick, and then after that, then they
would have a
threesome. That's got to be the most fast forwarded 45 minutes of all time in the history of
podcasts. Yeah. Now here's another example about how somebody gets the short end of the stick, and it's probably not a nice thing to say, but I've seen their Instagram where they show all their guests on the Plug podcast, and there has not been one guest that was hotter than his wife,
than Lena.
That's Lena, not true. Lena's all 100% of the time.
She's maybe one or two.
Did they have like Angela White on?
They did have Angela White.
Yeah, they had Mia something.
Sky Bree on.
I mean, like, I've only seen hotter chicks.
No, dude.
Don't ask me how I know they have all these people.
Yeah, I don't know that many porn stars by name. Like, I don't think I can name 10.
I'm stoked that when we just saw the guy who hammered Vinny's girlfriend.
Jesus.
I didn't even recognize. I don't recognize anybody in porn anymore. It's been so long since I swore off.
It's like
porn.
People talking about Molly, and you're like, I never even like. Yeah. I missed that whole boat.
Yeah, it was just. Yeah, it was not Molly. There's a lot of things that I missed, and thank God, fentanyl. I would.
Yeah, it's good to be out of the mix on some things.
You can bring up any guest that's been on Plug Talk, and I submit that not one of them will be hotter than Lena the Plug.
Well, okay, who's the guy that had sex with Lena? Is he hotter than Adam 22?
I mean, it's a different...
He types in Lena the Plug BBC.
Well, you just got to turn off safe search. Go over to the right.
What's safe that, search?
Well, yeah. Safe search is like if you search, it's not going to show you... Now safe search is off. Now it's not going to block all
safe
those...
safe search on?
Fuck no.
Whose computer is that? Definitely not Vinny's.
There we go. Okay.
That's the biggest dick I've ever seen in my life.
So he's not like necessarily a handsome guy, but he looks like he'd beat Adam. So
the guy's got a hammer.
I mean, is that even enjoyable for women at that point? Like, did you watch the porn?
I don't think it's out yet. But
this is more porn than I've watched in years.
We should change. Maybe we should turn Safe Search back on.
And we should also be careful about
using
the word porn and the word, you know, like. Mm.
Can we switch it up to the YNW Melly case? Are you guys following that?
You are so fascinated by it. Every time we see you, you're just like, you see what's going on with this?
He just sends me an
I'm on YouTube Shorts and like that's all that pops up.
So if people don't know what's going on, give us a little rundown.
For starters, who is YNW Melly?
I honestly don't even know. I'm just so fascinated with this guy and the court case. And it started when he got so excited when he got a honey bun when he was in interrogation. I'm like, what the fuck? But I guess what happened was...
Okay, so there's interrogation footage of the cops bringing him a honey bun?
Yeah, they're like, would you like a honey bun? And they go to get it, and he's just in there dancing. He's stoked as fuck. And I'm like, who is this guy? And it turns out, I don't know much about him, but I'm curious
YNW,
to see...
YNW, what does YNW stand for?
I don't know. There's a bunch of them.
So it's like a crew, kind of like YSL?
Yeah, I guess, from Florida. And after allegedly, there was four guys in the car, and the two guys in the front got murdered. That's him dancing with the honey bun.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. What the hell is he doing talking to the cops in the interrogation room? How can he be a gangster if he didn't say, yo, I'm not saying anything, give me my lawyer, take me back to my cell?
I think he was maybe... I mean, they had a terms. I don't have no idea.
You ever had a honey bun?
I mean, it's like,
no, I don't know much, but I guess there's the two guys in the front seat died, and then they drove the guys to the hospital or whatever. And they said it was a drive-by that happened, but like the guys that turned him into the hospital, they had like a fresh pair of clothes on, but they had gunpowder on their hands. So there's him and some other guy are the suspects in this case.
So what about it is so fascinating to you?
You're saying that they shot the victims and then took them to the hospital?
So allegedly what the prosecutors are saying is like the bullets had to have come from inside the vehicle. And the two guys in the back are saying it came from a drive-by. And so they don't have a murder weapon. But I'm just so fascinated in this guy because when I look more into him, he says he has six personalities. And they had footage of him like after the murders in a parking lot dancing. And I'm just like, and then you hear a song everywhere on like YouTube Shorts.
Oh, is this one of the ones where they're using his lyrics against him? That makes sense to me if the lyrics include information that only the killer would know.
Yeah, or like it shouldn't be like your only evidence, but if you're confessing, if you confess on a recording, that's evidence. And like just because you have it to a beat, it's still a confession.
But I thought lyrics don't hold up in the court of law.
I mean, I don't think they should be like your only evidence, but it's especially, like Steve's saying, if you know something that like only the killer would know.
All right, so I'm just fascinated that this is a case where the victims were shot and then taken to the hospital by the shooters.
They don't know if they are the shooters. That's the whole
thing.
But if
someone shot, would you really take somebody to the hospital right after you shot them?
That's like, ooh, man.
I don't know.
Did they check them in or just dump them?
My bad. Let me give you a ride, Doc.
Can you pull up a list of YNW Melly's crimes? Because they were like, do you think he did it? And then I was like, well, does he have a past? And then I start reading about his list of charges that he's had since he was a kid, and you're like, well, fuck, dude.
But if somebody drove by and shot the people in the front seat, the people in the back seat would have maybe been shooting back at that car, meaning there is gun residue in the car. That doesn't mean they shot the people in the front seat.
I guess
and
the
who
way
shoots the driver of the car that you're in.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like
I don't know, and I'd be fascinated to see if he got out. I guess what he did, he shot at a cop or something, spent a year in jail, and then he got out and he shot at three kids from his high school, then went to jail. I mean,
his real name is Demons.
His last name is Demons.
Yeah, his last name is Demons.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So
it's super cool.
Yeah.
Why isn't that his rap name?
Now, if he was to be found guilty,
death penalty.
Death penalty. But like, what if
he's like, I guess the first rapper that might get sentenced to the death penalty.
Even, but what if they, if he, what's it called when you say you're crazy?
Plead insanity.
Plead insanity, yeah. Is that why he's saying that he has six personalities?
No, he said it before on like podcasts. And,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
I okay.
I kind of want him to get off, but I also, like, if he did it, then no way, but like,
then why do you want him to get
I don't know, because he makes good music. I don't know.
I haven't even heard a song by him.
You've heard it for sure.
All right. I watched enough true crime stuff that I'm just still very disappointed in him talking to the cops. Honey bun or no honey bun?
I'm disappointed when anyone talks to the cops. Like, when you watch these things, it's like, just shut up. Say, let me talk. Am I arrested? Then I want a lawyer. That's all you need to say. But
do you watch those constitutional auditors when they go up to the police?
Yeah, sometimes.
Are you drinking?
Sometimes.
The cop's like, what? He's like, excuse me, what's your name? What's your badge number?
Yeah, but those dudes are kind of like douchey and annoying.
For sure.
I'm more interested in like interrogation footage. Steve got me really into like JCS and these channels.
Yeah.
Where it's like breaking down interrogations and like, you know, how they kind of get at somebody. But all they have to say is like, I want a lawyer. And like, show's over.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do in the interrogation room that's going to help you.
Hmm. Yeah,
nothing. Except for saying nothing.
Even if you're completely innocent.
Have you ever been in an interrogation room?
No.
Have you been in an interrogation
room? I've been interrogated by homicide detectives.
What?
But I don't know if it was interrogating, but I was very close to a murder, like a brutal double murder. And you heard that right, a double murder. And being close to something like that can be a lot for somebody to go through. And that is why I'm glad this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. You see, when things are weighing on you, stressing you out, man, it messes with your mental health. And therapy is the key to breaking all that down piece by piece and improving your mental health. I do it. And I do it with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com. And if you go to BetterHelp.com/Stevo, then you can get 10% off your first month. And I'm telling you, man, they've got a whole network of fully licensed professional therapists, and they've matched like 3 million people with therapists. And people are thriving because this is the way to better mental health. I particularly focus on my relationship with Lux, okay? They say you want to fix the roof before it rains, right? That's how I approach therapy. Fix the roof before it rains, make sure that we're in a good place, and protect this relationship that's so important to me. And whatever it is that you want to protect, you're going to do a much better job if you go to betterhelp.com/Stevo and enjoy 10% off your first month. I hope you do that, and I wish you well. Now let's get back to it. Yeah, it was in 1996 on the campus of the University of Miami. This is when I was sleeping in the athletic apartments with the University of Miami dive team.
You were there for like 2 weeks.
It was the athletic apartments. And so there was what was the name of the football player? Yeah, football player and his girlfriend were both just bludgeoned to death. Yeah, Marlon Barnes. Yep.
What?
And he was found dead at 7:30 a.m. And I was sleeping like in the down one level and you know, one floor down and one apartment adjacent.
96.
So they had to interview me, and I was like, oh, I got home at like 2 a.m. I was hammered, and they were
<You're> like, I'm gonna drink this cup and I'm not gonna touch it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, and he was a football player for UNM. So.
And what, you went into the station or they?
No. They just it was at the scene of the murders.
Whoa,
jeez! Yeah.
What kind of questions did they ask you?
They were just like, "Where were you last night?" And I was like, "Oh, I was super hammered. I got back here at like, you know, two in the morning or like 3 a.m. or something." And they were like, "All right, then you didn't do it." I don't know,
dude. I have we even talked about who's in your lap?
Yeah. Okay. I have a dog on my lap, and it appears to be a very docile, good dog. But it's not. It's not. Here in the UK, I just wanted to foster a dog for the duration of the tour. We went to a couple shelters, and it was no go. And then we found this shelter in Hull, England, that's H-U-L-L, where this lady just runs a shelter out of her house. She said that at the moment she had 92 animals in her house.
How big's her house?
I mean, most of the animals were like birds, and what'd she say? Birds, lizards, rabbits.
What did it smell like in there?
We didn't go inside. She just brought this dog outside. And this dog is not good with other dogs or mm-hmm. cats or young children. Now, I haven't seen it have a problem with children, but apparently those are dice that you do not want to roll.
That's a pretty safe assumption.
Yeah. And
her name, she's
had many names. It's like on her passport where she was born in Spain. They wrote the name Brownie. The lady in Hull who had her in that house with 92 animals named her Skylar. She was on my lap while I got my pickled onion monster munch tattoo. And so then we started calling her Pickle. But she proved to be such an absolute terror, attacking every dog she possibly can, no matter its size. And she's just such a nightmare that we started calling her Tazzy for Tasmanian Devil. She does bear a resemblance to
Tazzy. A little resemblance, yeah, I see it.
Yeah, and it's just going to be sad because she's like pretty bonded with me at this point. And so then, and I can't bring her home because we've got dogs and cats and... So she might be going back to the lady who runs the shelter out of her house. But we filmed that video. Maybe we can find a home for her.
Yeah.
Maybe anybody listening in England right now who doesn't have a dog or a cat
maybe announce it at the show.
She'll already be gone by the taping of the show. And the taping of the show, the bucket list special, wow.
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 It's coming up. Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
A couple days away.
Not including all the people who I flew out to just be here. It's a $185,000 shoot in the theater, just shooting in the theater.
Is that typical? Like, do most specials cost somewhere around there?
I know that on the night of the shoot for the Gnarly special, it was like $125,000. And it actually might include all the post-production. I think that's to get to the deliverables. So it's $185,000 for shooting it and all of the post-production editing.
Now, does a percentage of that go to the venue as well, or is it?
I'm sure it covers all expenses.
Yeah,
there's a little bit of a fee for like you pay a certain amount to a theater to rent the theater in order to do the show. Mm-hmm. And you definitely pay more to the theater to be able to film the show for a special. Mm-hmm. But, dude, like, I'm so ready for this, man. And thanks to this guy right here, the gorgeous Paul Brisky. I mean, like, we've tirelessly studied it, workshopped it, come up with every little option. Like, oh, let's try this, let's try that. And, man, I just am really excited about it.
Yeah, it's been so fun, like, tweaking on shit. And then, because you get, like, the next night, you can just try the new way. And it's like, right. Oh, that didn't work. Okay, let's try something new or something. So it's like, pretty immediate results you get to see.
Every piece of this project. I mean, dude, what did we spend on the opening sequence with the helicopter?
Maybe like 70 to 90?
No Jesus. Way, dude. Way more than that.
Really?
I think so. I thought that was over $100,000 a day.
I need to double check, but I mean the helicopter was a lot.
Yeah, I mean, dude, everything was a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's the most though, right? Of all the bits, the helicopter for sure.
Yeah, the taping of the show is the most. Then the helicopter was skyjacking expensive?
No.
Vasectomy Olympics was certainly expensive.
Yeah, because that was all we had to fly everybody out there.
But I mean, whatever. It's just like, and dude, the production design. Do I say on this what the production design is?
If you want, give a little tease of it, sure.
Because this is coming out before it. Maybe, yeah, do it, dude.
Okay, Lux is the production designer. I told her that I think the most masterful badass comedy special that I've seen in a long time was Jew by Ari Shaffir. Mm-hmm. And one of the most impressive things about it was that he performed in front of like hundreds, maybe 1,000 lit candles. I was just like, dude, it was so ambitious. It was so rad. Like, how do I do something like that with the production design? My first thought, because, you know, it's sort of a love story, and the bucket list items, like the show is a story about how me doing all the things on my bucket list, like, impacted my relationship mostly negatively. So I thought like roses, but roses would just look dumb. Yeah. And then Lux says, well, dude, it's a multimedia show, like bringing together, you know, your video production and your live performance. So why not have like a mountain, like a wall of television sets?
Like old school TVs.
Old school TVs. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God, that's so genius. So she's literally, she came up with the idea. She found hundreds of old school TV sets from the 80s and 90s.
A lot of garage sales she's been going to.
This wall of TVs behind me is 7 feet tall and 24 feet wide with islands in the front for the cross shots. There's even more. Just the wall of TVs behind me weighs more than 1.5 metric tons. And every single one of the TVs comprising that wall totally works and will be displaying images and videos while, like, it's all going on.
It's pretty epic, dude.
It's unbelievably epic.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even stand it. It's just, like, every little piece of this show, like, we've gone to, like, ridiculous lengths to make it, like, overly ambitious. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I dare say that this special is actually special. I'm so stoked for it.
Yeah, I mean, and the best part too is it's funny. It's funny. Like, with or without the TVs, with or without, like, all the kind of bells and whistles, like, it's so damn funny. So this is just icing on the cake.
I mean, dude.
And you have the same director, like, people are shooting it that did Ari's special, so that's cool too.
Right. I've been working on this bucket list show for more than 5 years. I mean, that's insane. Of course, like, during the pandemic, not a lot was going on. So maybe call it 3.5. But I spent 8 months just putting the basic show together with the first vignettes. And then, I mean, dude, it's never stopped. Like, the evolution, the work on it, kicking out bits, replacing them with new and better mm-hmm. ones. Like,
the videos get like changed every night almost, like yeah. with little tiny things.
Dude,
how do you feel that it's almost the end of the bucket list tour? Bittersweet?
I mean, there's just about nowhere to go left with it. I mean, granted, we didn't do Europe, and that kind of mm-hmm. is a kick in the nuts, but it's time. It's time. And I feel so, so ready, man. So ready for this taping. Correction. I'll be ready once I have a nice smooth shave, which I get from Harry's. These are the best shaving products known to man. 5-blade razor, top of the line, and no gimmicks, no vibrating lights, nothing you don't need that people are paying way too much money for. It's everything that you do need at the most reasonable prices. Plus, Harry's is hooking up the listeners of the Wild Ride podcast with the Craft Handle set. This has the weighted ergonomic craft handle, the 5-blade razor, the travel cover to protect the razor, the foaming shave gel. This is a value of $17, but you guys, the listeners of the Wild Ride podcast, get all of that for just $10. It's an insane deal, and I swear to you, these are the only razors I shave with, and that's been the case for years now, way before they sponsored this podcast. I love Harry's. You will too. Jump on this deal by going to harrys.com/stevo. Yeah, man, and enjoy a nice, clean shave. and catch mine on the special when it comes out. Yeah, dude, let's get back to it. And then once that happens, we've got like what I call the victory lap. We've got the one last run down the East Coast in September, and then it's on to the next thing.
Yeah. And how's that going to work? Like, are you going to go back to like clubs and like workout material? Like, because you're sort of a different animal than most comedians, because you're like a multimedia thing. But you plan to do something like that?
That, I mean, the way that I did the bucket list was to first film the vignette and then go to the comedy club and just tell the story of that vignette. And so I put together piece by piece. When you go on stage at a comedy club in LA, you typically get like a 10-minute set, maybe 20, but like 10, 15 minutes.
Sure.
And that would be my time to just tell the story of one bit. Nice. And then, you know, I would work that. Like over
without showing the video.
Without showing the video.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No video. Oh, so you just tell the story and you just got to make it funny even without the payoff of seeing it.
Right.
Oh, that's amazing. Mm-hmm.
If I was at the Hollywood Improv, I would be able to show the video. But if I was at the Comedy Store or the Laugh Factory, I would not be able to show the video.
It's better that you can't, because like you have to make it funny without it.
Yeah, it's totally better that you can't.
Wow, that's cool.
And so that's absolutely what I'll do with the next one. But it's just, it's crazy. Like whatever happens after this, it's one of two things that I'm going to go into. Of course, one being gone too far, and the other one like is kind of. I mean, who knows if it'll happen?
Yeah.
But whatever comes next, it is so high level that it's just exciting, and I'm not like sad about going into it. I'm nervous because the bucket list is so good. Mm-hmm.
But that's like, good fear. That's like the fear you need. Like,
yeah. Okay. So, what else are we going to talk about? The time here in London. I want to say this because Knoxville always makes fun of me for being the guy who will text his buddies his press. You know, like, dude, check out this rad article written about me. You know, like, Knoxville would never do that. And so I really leaned into it because I got so much press.
Which article did you send him?
I sent him, but like, from my publicist, I get, like, the press clips. And then there was an additional, hey, here's additional press clips from the Tower of London bridge jump. And then there was a third email, yet more additional.
Like, this you sent list, all those to Knoxville?
This list got so ridiculously long. I copied and pasted the whole list. And I sent it to Knoxville saying, congratulations for your prank panel, because the promo is just so great. We saw it on the UFC. Like, I was like, it looked great on the UFC. Like, way to go on the prank panel. And also, check out how much press I just got. And I don't mind sharing what he wrote back, because it's so funny. He goes, oh, man, Steve. Oh man, you know, Steve-O, thank you so much for compiling this list of 49 links. You saved me so much work. It's so great. Like, I just love it, man.
When the cops detained you after jumping off the bridge, what were they saying to you?
Okay, the reality is that, like, when they put me in the cop car, like, it was largely an exercise in protecting me from, like, the crowd that was gathering. Yeah. They just wanted some privacy to talk to me about, like, their sensitivity, which wasn't, like, laws being broken, but rather the, you know, people attempting to take their own life by jumping off the bridge in exactly the same spot that I just had. Mm-hmm. They're like, we really don't want to
cool. How could somebody take their life?
I know.
From that
bridge? I guess, like, the current sometimes, like, because that there's a tide that comes up and down in that river each day. And depending on when you jump, there might be a crazy current pulling you and, like, pulling you under. But, like,
you got to be a pretty bad swimmer.
Yeah, we must have timed it so perfectly if that's the case, because there was nothing like that.
And twice, mind you, because
how many people have died on the Tower Bridge? Can you look at that?
Oh, yeah.
What happened to you the last time you jumped off of it?
It was just over 20 years ago, almost exactly 20 years ago. I jumped off the bridge in almost exactly the same spot.
Did you die? Did you get in trouble?
It was no, but the cops were not waiting for. I guess I got out of the water quicker, or maybe like people just didn't notice as much.
Did you get up in the same spot?
I got right in the same spot.
And was that same gate locked?
I was able to just get right out of there.
Yeah.
And
That was funny. You walked like into a cage immediately. Yeah. You were already behind bars as soon as you got out of the water.
Tower of London death.
No. That'll be like all kinds of. Do tower, bridge, and then the S word, which, yeah, there you go. Man, that's sad.
I don't think you can even say like killed or died anymore. It's unalived.
Unalived.
Oh my God. Seen those on the show? Unalived himself.
That's what I want to talk about. Like all these things that are not okay to say anymore.
Like cockpit.
On an airplane, it's no longer a cockpit.
They don't want to use the word cockpit.
But who?
Dude, remember the other day we laughed so hard because I asked a photographer to bring a slave flash.
Yeah.
And Paul says, you can still say that?
Yeah, I was like, we're not saying master bedroom, but we're still saying slave flash. Right. I don't know how long that's going to last.
Right. And then what's this you were saying that... I don't know how
true this is or whatever, but I've seen it in a few spots online. But you can no longer say vagina or pussy. You have to say bonus hole.
Yeah, that's that.
But it's just fun to say, like, oh, you hear what they're upset about now. So it's like if one person gets upset, it becomes like national news because your battery's gonna die. I think
I'm pretty sure that bonus hole is not the new term.
I like it.
I
better.
Mean, I kind of wish it is. Dude.
And then didn't you just say there was another one?
There's a bunch. Can you type in words that are...
canceled and like politically incorrect.
Yeah.
Canceled words. Yeah, that's good.
Words you can't say on YouTube. Here we go.
No, I think it's like misogynistic words.
All right. I thought that was going to be a lot more fun to talk about than it was, but bonus hole is a good one.
Never mind. I think we fucked up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like we always get up in arms. It's like, oh, you hear they're upset at Beyonce for like saying whatever, you know, saying like spaz. But I bet only just a few people got upset, but everyone else got upset that anyone was upset. And like, that's the big talking point. Like, you hear they're upset.
Yeah, those people were more upset than the people upset.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
what,
bubbly, perky.
Let's go to the comments.
Moist.
Everyone always has a problem with moist. It's like not even that bad of a word.
Yeah, it's not.
Some people are like, "Why I can't
hussy.
Hear." People just go like, "I can't even hear that word."
Hussy. Although the word hussy has always referred to women. Although the word hussy has always referred to women, it's the change in connotation over time that makes it problematic today. Originally, hussy was a neutral term used to describe a female head of the household. This makes sense, given that it is deformed.
I got an interesting fact there. Do you know where this may or may not be true, maybe we can look it up, but do you know where fake eyelashes came from?
No,
it's a 1920s term that like hookers used to put fake eyelashes on because they're called cumbrellas.
You've know told that? Me this before.
I don't even understand don't think that's what you mean. So that was, you're saying that was what they were originally called?
Yeah,
was a cumbrella.
They were for cum. They'll get out of your eyes for
elongated
prostitutes.
Eyelashes, yeah.
But like, just because you can call the eyebrows a cumbrella doesn't mean that.
Eyelashes.
But that doesn't mean fake eyelashes were invented to catch. Who invented fake eyelashes and why? Probably because it's stylish to have big eyelashes, so girls wanted big ones.
Just because you can call. That's really funny, man.
We should do like a mock trial, and you have to be a lawyer and like argue a case. It'd be really
no,
funny.
No. Go to the next. Go back, and then go down one. Did prostitutes invent fake eyelashes?
I mean, maybe they did because it's like it's.
Well, what were they invent them for?
To not to be a cumbrella.
How about?
First of all, close your eyes if someone's coming on your face. Like,
excuse me.
What do you need? Like a.
Yeah.
Well, look at that. That's false.
False.
Well,
okay.
We proved me wrong.
Yeah.
I was curious about that.
Let me see. 18.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, in 1882, London prostitute Gerda Parydel invented elongating eyelashes or umbrellas to block semen from getting. So you saw that?
I didn't see that exact one. I saw other people like make videos about it.
Okay. Like, I mean,
might have to bleep some of that.
I think that this is going to be a problematic upload.
What about the movie that just came out this last weekend? What's it called?
The Sound of Freedom.
Yeah. Has anybody seen that?
No. I think it just came out in theaters recently.
It's a documentary or it's a
movie. So Scott was trying to tell me that this movie outperformed Indiana Jones.
Yeah, on the first weekend.
But on Indiana Jones's first weekend?
Both.
It came out the same day.
So just show us like the box office from the other day or whatever.
But the second weekend it didn't. That's what I heard on the PBD podcast.
So what's it about? I mean, just it's about child trafficking.
It's a true story. It's a true story on child trafficking. This one guy, I guess, played by the Jim Caviezel. Is that how you say his name? Caviezel is the real life guy who did this, and he'd go down and try to rescue these kids that are.
Jim Caviezel really did this, and then they made a movie about it. Or he plays the guy. Jim Caviezel played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ.
Yeah,
is this a Mel Gibson movie?
I think so.
Because I saw him promoted on Dana White's Instagram.
Is that why Mel Gibson was at the fights, probably?
He goes to the fights anyway, right?
Yeah, I've seen him at the fights.
We should get Mel on here.
Mel Gibson, when I look at him, he kind of reminds me of Bam.
Really?
Well, yeah. He could be a cousin, for sure.
The gray goatee.
Mel Margera.
Yeah. Yeah, bring up some images.
Well, they both have the three-letter first
name. Look at him on the... Yeah,
for sure.
100%. I see it. 100%, especially when you see him talk, too.
Yeah, I see it. Dude, I finally saw Apocalypto.
So good.
When
did you see it?
It's epic.
Like a couple weeks ago.
Really?
Is that a Mel Gibson?
It's a Mel Gibson directed movie, and it's like, it's not even in English. The whole thing is subtitled. It's like one of the best movies of all time.
Yeah.
So good.
Why is it so good?
It's like about just like...
The capturing these and different tribes. Of like Native Americans.
Yeah. These different tribes like battling each other for dominance, and it's just so good.
It's just nonstop. That's what happens.
Yeah, I highly recommend it.
Wow, and you got to read the whole thing.
You got to read the whole thing, and you don't even mind. And it's kind of brilliant too because they can do it in any country in any language because you just got to change the subtitles.
And maybe if they were speaking in English, it wouldn't like ring true.
Well, sure. I think they're speaking like Quechua or something.
What was the other? There was another movie that was really good that you had to read about like a Brazilian.
Oh, City of God.
City of God, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, City of God was good. My favorite movie on Netflix of all time is Headhunters, and that's all Norwegian and English subtitles.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the best movies are subtitled. What, Parasite was subtitled?
Yeah.
So what's going on with movies, man? Like,
That's Herbie Hancock in the Headhunters.
No, Headhunter. Yeah, with that dude on the Jamie Lannister.
Are superhero movies still just crushing it so much?
But they suck.
They're always going to crush it. I feel like.
I feel like those are the only movies that should be at a movie theater anymore. Right? Like I would rather watch movies in the privacy of my own house.
Yeah, but like,
when's the last time you've been to a movie theater?
It's been a long time for me.
Recently, I just saw the new Wes Anderson movie at a movie theater, and it was awesome.
Oh, was that good?
Yeah, Asteroid City. But I feel like ever since that last Avengers movie, it's kind of been a downhill for these. It's like that was the peak of like the superhero excitement. Just kind of coasting and riding it out.
I just feel like movies in general that are coming out nowadays are just trash.
The last movie I saw in the theaters was Jackass.
Yeah,
I saw John Wick like a month ago. It was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
The John Wick movies aren't good.
The first one was pretty good.
I don't think they're good. They're like just kind of crappy action movies.
What's your favorite movie of all time? That's the way I could tell a lot about a man.
I mean, like when you ask me that, the Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou comes to mind, the Wes Anderson movie.
Did you see Anything and Everything All at Once?
That was really good. I love that movie.
What's
really
that? Good.
That's like the...
It came out recently on Netflix.
Metaphysical...
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Oh, that's the one about Stephen Hawking?
No, it's...
It's with that girl from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
The editing is unbelievable.
It's just really...
I couldn't get into
clever, really creative movie. It's about like multiple realities and shit and dimensions.
Jamie Lee Curtis is in it.
Yeah, and she plays like a gnarly. It won a lot of Oscars,
dude. Jamie Lee Curtis
or Johnny
back in the day.
What a nug!
Oh man, what a nug!
That scene in
Trading Places.
Trading Places,
dude.
Anytime she's in workout equipment.
Yeah. We just saw a recent picture of Johnny Knoxville next to a recent picture of Jamie Lee Curtis. It was really similar.
Yeah.
Dude, she was such a nut, dude. Yeah. Even True Lies.
I mean, she's still kind
of True Lies.
Steve, what's your favorite movie? Is it still Harold and Maude?
I've watched Harold and Maude at this point too many times to like enjoy watching again. But this is kind of random, and I wouldn't say overall the greatest movie, but the movie... I walked out of the movie theater and said, man, that was a good movie.
I know what it is.
War Dogs with Jonah Hill.
It was a good movie.
And Miles Teller. It was great. Another one.
But to say that's like one of your favorite movies, that's crazy.
I feel like you're going to say the Imitation Game.
The Imitation, that was my next one I was going to say. Imitation Game was fantastic.
That's where they cracked the Nazi code. Yeah, that was good. That was really good.
That was unbelievable.
It was unbelievably good. I don't know if I saw that one. Keira Knightley. She's in the Imitation Game.
She's always
War Dogs was actually like incredible. You didn't think it was like...
No, War Dogs was good, but if you're asking somebody what's their favorite movie, you're really going to throw that in the top 10?
I remember the rest of the night after watching War Dogs, I was just
it's
like,
a great movie.
So good.
Yeah.
I remember feeling that after I watched the Facebook movie, The Social Network, thinking, man, that was really good.
That was a good movie, yeah.
Do you have a favorite documentary or like a biopic of all time?
Yeah, you're a big true crime biopics.
What's your number one?
Okay. The best programming, Don't Fuck with Cats on Netflix.
I couldn't get into it.
Oh my God. You just did. It's the best. I've never seen it.
It's so well done.
It's unbelievable. I don't know how you could not get into it. It's unbelievable.
I feel like that and The Jinx are kind of the gold standard of these kind of movies.
The Jinx. Yeah.
All right. Then let me ask you, Steve, do you have a favorite podcast you listen to? Do you listen to any podcasts? I feel like...
Yeah, I don't really listen to podcasts.
Podcasts are for losers.
Yeah, well, what's your go-to YouTube channel, JCS?
I love JCS. I love Stay Awake.
Yeah.
What else? There's a bunch that creep in there. Beyond Evil is really good.
I don't know that one.
The Red Tree Crime.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, those are all the like JCS-inspired content.
Right, but they have enough self-respect to not just call themselves JCS-inspired.
Yeah, that's true. And they upload more often. JCS drop is like...
oh, my God.
It's like a new Dr. Dre album. It's like, you only get a few, and they're so good.
Yeah, I mean, JCS is literally the Quentin Tarantino of YouTube.
Yeah, he should do like a HBO show or something. You guys should produce it.
Right. You know, dude, and for mentioning JCS on the podcast... I got tweeted at by JCS. They're like, oh man, thanks for shouting us out.
That's sick. Why don't you go on his channel and do something? Or
I mean, dude, like, that's the thing is that we have nothing to offer each other in each other's content.
Yeah, have him over for dinner party.
I'd be fascinated. And it's not one person. I don't think. I think it's like a whole team of people.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, JCS stands for Jim Can't Swim. Best YouTube channel on YouTube.
Does it stand for Jim Can't Swim? I thought it was like...
It stands for Jim Can't Swim.
Oh, there you go. Jim Can't Swim. You've
done your research.
I mean, dude, I love it. It's my favorite.
All right, Steve, let me ask you your take on this. And I know Paul's take and I know Vinny's take, but when you and Lux get married, is she going to keep her last name? Is she going to change her last name? Is it going to be two last names?
Great question.
I'm curious have you thought that far? Have you guys talked about it? Lux Glover.
It would be a two last name situation, but Lux Wright Glover.
Lux. So the woman's name goes first.
Her name is just cooler. Like Glover. I've never been stoked on my last name, Glover.
Tandy Glover.
I get it.
Glover's
but,
good.
Like, I don't, for me, I was never stoked on my last name.
Have you always
name.
Been stoked in your middle name?
Gilchrist. Gilchrist.
What do you Gilchrist? Think it was? You can't even pronounce
Gilchrist.
It.
Gilchrist. I thought it was Gilchrist.
Yeah, like my sister used to know that she'd call me Gilly, and I would cry, and she'd Gilly, 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 and I would just, you know.
What's your sister's middle name? Is it something English?
Cynthia Claire.
Claire's pretty English.
Can't do much with Emma. Claire. But yeah, I always felt weird about my last name too, like Brisky. It always feels like
I hate typing like, the name when I buy flights. Like SSKE, is there two K's? Is there one K?
Yeah, people spell it wrong everywhere.
My mom's middle name was Gay. Donna Gay Glover.
That's pretty gay.
Well, her birth name was Donna Gay Wathier.
Huh.
That's kind of sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of sick.
How you doing, Vinny?
I'm chilling, dude.
Any news?
Robin.
How are you recovering from us blasting you about your girl getting blasted?
Dude, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'm cool with it.
Good. Yeah, yeah. You're a confident guy.
Yeah, I'm confident.
I looked at you wearing a robe.
Yeah. Yeah, we're in your hotel room.
Yeah. And he's been kind of blowing up these days.
Popping off.
Like on tour, we've created a new pre-show, mm-hmm. which heavily features Vinny and his new Skinny Vinny t-shirt, mm-hmm. which can be purchased
at the merch table and at www.skinnyvinny.tv.
Is that driving traffic?
That is
no, but you can drive traffic to that, just
yeah,
not to like.
That's just his website to buy merch.
But
yeah.
What can't you drive traffic to?
Like sexual things?
Oh, I forgot I took them off because I have all the shirts with me. I have all the shirts with me. Yeah.
You all took right. them all off? You yeah. bought everything you had?
Yeah.
Have you fulfilled all the orders of people that bought? Yeah. Look at you, dude. Yeah. You're on top
and
of it.
And I got that Wix shit taken care of.
Good.
Yeah.
There you go. Skinny all Vinny.
Right. Dude, Vinny, I'm so proud of you. You're killing it, dude.
Thanks, dude. Dude, the love that I've been getting at the venues has been pretty surreal.
We believe that you appreciate it.
Dude.
Like our take on you, Vinny, is that you want to be famous so bad.
Give it to me.
Yeah.
You're like, Isaac sends me, like, he'll send me a photo, like, of you just, hey, I'm just going to go check out the merch line. You know, just see what's up. And it's just you, like, posting up, just trying to get recognized by the merch line.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you'll
just,
do something.
Or like the if people are taking photos with you after right. the show.
Yeah, yeah, you'll just put yourself in the spot where maybe you
like it.
Maybe
some eyes are gonna catch you.
Yeah, I shy away from it.
Getting noticed is awesome.
In fairness, I used to do the same thing. After I would open, I would always go to the merch table at the end of the show, just be like, "You guys good? Need anything?" And I'm just in case somebody's like, "Oh shit, you were good." I was like, "Oh,
it's validating for sure.
It's super validating. I just like it. Yeah, it tickles. You know, it's a nice little tickle."
And I love that now at the shows you're so heavily featured in the pre-show.
Yeah,
getting so much shine. I tell people in the pre-show to go say what's up to you at the merch table.
Yeah.
I love
it,
dude.
Sick, dude.
I want you to blow up. I want you to just...
Why do you
want to
be famous? Is there different reasons for everybody wanting fame? Is it to get back at somebody for making fun of you?
Think it's anything like that. I don't know. I think I've just always been so intrigued and fascinated in fame. And maybe it had something to do with my upbringing, but I don't know.
I mean, Steve, you wanted to get famous for attention. That's the.
I wanted to live forever.
Yeah. Paul, why do you want to be famous?
I mean, well, okay, it feels good. That's really the thing. But for me, it's like fame is not my highest goal. It's like I want to be like a someone who like makes music. So if I'm making music and I'm successful at that, a symptom of that is like fame. So it's like I'm not like I just want to be famous. It's like I want to be known for this shit I'm doing. But I do enjoy being recognized and like it just feels good. It's just kind of nice. You feel popular. It's like being popular. It feels good. That's really.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, Steve, you said that like fame is like one of the most intoxicating drugs.
Sure. I'm already thinking about what the title for this podcast should be. And
Steve-O got questioned for a double murder.
Yeah, for sure. That's what came to my mind.
Well, that'd be probably good for a clip. But I mean, the whole dynamic of, you know, Adam 22 versus Jonah Hill, who took the L.
That's yeah. That's great. That's I like good. That. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, because that's what we started off talking about.
Yeah.
Like,
it's topical.
You know, like, Jonah Hill is in the news for being exactly the opposite of what Adam 22 is in the news for.
Yes.
They're both catching heat. Who caught the L?
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
I like it.
Maybe yeah. they both did, yeah. It's a spectrum.
Yeah, I submit that Jonah Hill, like, off his back. Off his back, dude. Jonah Hill, like, was perfect. He was even courteous in those texts.
I think he's kind of a kook, but it's just like the most insecure shit to be like, I don't want you hanging out with
dudes.
I've
never seen you so angry about it.
Don't you know
it.
I was trying to get him on the podcast?
Jonah, I'm not, when there's a guest, I'm not there, so... I just think it's weird. It's weird behavior. I don't think it's like cancelable. I don't think like I'm not mad at him.
It would be weird if your fiance went to lunch with another dude.
Would not bother me at all.
And it's even more weirder that it doesn't bother you at all.
Maybe that's unusual. I get that. But to me, that if she was like, yeah, I met this I got this buddy we work with. We got lunch.
Like we get lunch 3 times a week.
I don't. What do I care? Like, what is the negative to me if she's getting lunch with somebody?
So out of 4 of us, 3 think you're wrong.
That's fine.
Three think you're out of your goddamn mind.
But what is the negative? What is the negative to you if she's getting lunch?
I think it's just inappropriate. Like, because, like, she wouldn't want you doing that to her.
Let's say, like, a group of people goes out to lunch. It's the one-on-one piece, dude.
Because somebody always has feelings. Like, I got friend-zoned, and I, like, started getting feelings. Somebody will always get feelings in like, a friendly relationship where it's a guy and a girl. If they're, like, heterosexual.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it doesn't bother me. I don't know that I'm not saying I'm right or everyone should feel the way I feel. But it would not bother me at all.
If the guy was attracted to your fiance, would you still let them, not let them, but like, would you be okay with them? If he was like, dude, like, she's like, he kind of likes me.
Yeah, I mean, if she's not going to do anything with him, so.
But he likes her.
Then that's going to suck for him, not for me.
All right.
Okay, you've said your piece.
I've said my piece. That's my piece. Sorry, right. Jonah.
Well, this was a definitely new approach to the Wild Ride podcast.
Do you like it?
I'm nervous about it. Anybody who's still listening to this, like, give us some love, man.
Because we never, like...
It's our first time being like, let's talk current events.
Yeah, we've never given our opinion really on shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's more of our personalities coming to light.
Yeah. I mean, I know that people say, hey, man, we want to get to know you guys. We want to be hanging out with you guys. Love having Paul Brisky in the mix.
Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of comments saying they love these kind of podcasts.
Yeah, so. But the last no guest podcast we did.
But like think about it. 2 years down the road or a year down the road, the more you do these, you build like these people that aren't just showing up because Bam's on the show or Johnny Knoxville's on the show. It's like, I love these guys. I want to talk to them. Right. I want to hang out with them every week. So
and there's always
it's
current worth events.
Putting that time in. It's like an investment. And people like the people that watch it, the comments are overwhelmingly positive on that last one.
And I like having you on.
Thank you.
Because you're like a level, like I'm one end, Steve's one end, Vinny's one end, and I feel like you're like even keel on most things. Like you're a good sounding board to bounce things off of.
Oh my God, dude.
He could be the best.
Like Paul Brisky, like I've said it a million times. The just has me by the balls, the most like irreplaceable, most unbelievably talented creative force on my team.
Yeah, because I can be like, Steve, you probably shouldn't do that. And you're like,
that's going on my Instagram.
Yeah,
I love you guys, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I love the fuck out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like I could be like, Steve, do that. Maybe don't do that. And Steve's like, no, I'm absolutely going to do that. It's like, Paul, you know, we like, and you're like, well, I think it works. And we do it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Thank you for saying that. And I love being here. I mean, being on the podcast with you guys is super fun. Fucking love it.
Well, hopefully we can build up the podcasts that have no guest. We can, you know, I would love to do it more. There's plenty of stuff I'd love to talk about. And if current events is going to resonate, like... I by the way, too, I want to say this is just one final thought. It's not just because I think it'd be great to have Jonah Hill on the podcast. I genuinely don't think he did shit wrong. I read his text and I have no issue with it. He's just got, you know, like it's those texts were written like somebody who's had a bad experience before and just doesn't fuck around with that shit.
But could I have a quick, why is she screenshotting and like sending
that's
it
the,
out?
That's the kook piece.
Because it's not
that's kooky too. Like to publicly like, yeah. Try to bring someone down is kookier than Jonah. I do agree with
that. No, I'm genuinely asking, is there a reason why like she did that? Is she like
to spite him maybe or to like
she's
like
mad? It was to assassinate his character, to compromise his livelihood. She was trying to bring him down. She's a bad person.
Jonah Hill just did that documentary on him and his therapist, right? So I feel like everything that like he wrote to her was in consultation. He probably was going through it with that guy. It was like,
I mean, like, it was written like a guy who's been working on himself, who's had issues in the past, and just, it's like he said, setting boundaries. And then she'd post it like, oh, the wrong use of the word boundaries. Fuck off.
Yeah. I mean, everybody I've seen that's, like, talked about it is kind of, like, exactly what we're thinking. It's like, well, what did he do wrong? And I think that's the consensus.
For the record, I do agree she's kookier for, like, making this whole thing of it than he is.
Yeah.
I'm a fence sitter. I'm like, I sit on the fence.
She's the worst. All right, everybody. We love you and thank you for sticking around. All right. You kidding me, man? Was that gossipy enough? We were like a bunch of old hags just talking about everybody in town. And we had fun. And I really, really hope that you guys enjoyed it too. Because, man, it felt fresh, felt new. Paul, did you put like a bunch of assets on the YouTube screen? Mm-hmm. Cool, man. Yeah, I mean, we kind of took a page out of Rogan's book with that one, and it felt good. So if you liked it, let us know, man. That would mean a lot. And as always, you know I love you. And dude, wish me luck. It's not tomorrow night, but as you listen to this, it is. Ooh, man, I'm ready. Awesome, guys. I love you.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.